Canto 2. You sailors in your little boats that trail my singing ship because so keen to hear, by now it might be time for you to sail back till you see your shoreline reappear. For here the sea is deep, and if you lose my leading light just once, then steering clear might bring bewilderment. So you must choose. Be warned, this sea was never sailed before. Minerva breathes, Apollo steers, the nine muses will navigate me by the store of stars. You few that took this course of mine in early times to reach for angels' bread, by which men live but can't be satisfied down here, you might indeed have forged ahead in your craft as the salt depths moved aside, ploughing the furrow till the waves again healed smooth. The glory-hungry Argonauts, who crossed to Colchis, were not so stunned when they saw their Jason yoke the bulls. Your thoughts will make theirs seem unruffled. The innate and everlasting thirst bore us away, the thirst for heaven in God's form. In spate we sped, almost as fast as one might say the star wheel turned, while Beatrice gazed on high, and I on her. And in the time a bolt that strikes a target takes to load and fly, I now saw I had hurtled to a halt, when something marvelous drew my eyes from her to it. From her my thoughts could not be hid. She turned the fairest eyes that ever were to me and said this, glad at what she did. To God who brings us here to the first star, the moon, direct your thanks. It seemed to me a cloud now covered us, if clouds there are that can be dense yet still shine, solidly consistent, smooth like star-struck diamonds. And this eternal pearl now took us in, as water will retain its seamless bonds pierced by a ray of light. How to begin? If I were a body, and down here we can't believe a body might be drawn into a body, or we would be what we aren't. This should accentuate our wish anew of climbing up to see that essence where our nature joins to God. There will be seen all that we hold by faith. It will be there, not demonstrated. But for what we mean by knowing, known, known in itself, which is the primal truth that men believe. And I, my lady, how the credit is all his, that from the mortal world I reach the sky, I say from my devoted, thankful heart. But tell me why this body should be scarred by dark marks, which from earth are seen as part of Cain's crown, made from thorns long, sharp, and hard. She smiled a while, then said, if judgment errs in mortals, when the key of sense won't fit the lock, be not amazed if it occurs from now on that your reason's winged remit falls short of what the senses apprehend. Just keep the shafts of wonder out of it. Let them fly past. There's nothing to defend. All you need to do is tell me what you think. And I, presumably that which might seem up here to be divine means sun rays sink into the rare, but from the dense they gleam reflected. She, assuredly you'll find that your belief is deep in error drowned. If only you admit into your mind the following objections which are sound. The eighth sphere shows us many different lights. The fixed stars, which, if they are judged by size or quality, appear as different sights. If all those, like the moon, should harmonize their luminosity from dense or sparse collections of material, then each would have one virtue, in a single class distributed, as qualities might reach from more or less through equal on the scale. But that's absurd, for different virtues form from principles, and your thought would entail that only one of them provides the norm. Again, if rarity should be the source of that obscurity you ask about, the moon would either have in parts a course of emptiness right through it, or without much difference from the way that lean and fat are portioned in a body, it would stack the pages in its volume lying flat one on the other, thin white and thick black. But in the first case, at the sun's eclipse, we'd see the light shine through the moon, as through rare stuff. The second case lives on the lips for a little longer, since in this way, too, your view is false. If rarity falls short of going right through, There must be a mark where density ensures the ray is caught and thrown back, giving light instead of dark, just as a color is sent back through glass with hidden lead behind. You might contend those rays show dimmer when they have to pass up from the depths than those which must descend less deeply to encounter a hard place. Experiment, however, will remove such an objection, and from your false case release you. For experiment must prove always to be the spring that feeds the streams of your art. Take 3 mirrors. First you set 2 the same distance from you, so it seems a window lies between them where is met the 3rd one by your eyes from where it stands yet further off. Then have, behind your back, a lamp set up, by which those 2 demands for light are satisfied. See how the track rebounds of each beam. Though the one that comes the furthest may look smaller, you will see it shines with equal brightness. What benumbs your mind, now finally of error free, is that the truth has not yet taken hold. Think of the snow, when smitten with warm rays, bare of its former color and its cold. I want to fill your bare mind with a blaze of living light that sparkles in your eyes. Within the heaven of divine peace spins the primum mobile, whose virtue ties together all the being that begins and ends with it. The next heaven, hung with many lights and called the starry sphere, assigns that being severally among different existences, so they appear many and various but are contained within its single virtue. 7 more heavens exist, and all of them ordained to deal out separate qualities they share within, to suit their ends and good effect. These organs and the universe proceed, as you see, grade by grade, in due respect, receiving from above all that they need to operate below. Observe well how I pass thus to the truth you seek, just so you may know how to ford the river now alone. I give you grounds for where to go. Now then, your final step. The holy wheels. Their motion and their virtues must derive, as from the leaping sparks and ringing peals of constant hammering the smiths contrive their ironwork, from blessed movers. These are the angelic orders, and the realm made fair by all those flaring entities is shaped by the profound mind at the helm, and of that stamp becomes itself the seal. And as the soul in your dust is diffused through different body parts, each built to deal with different faculties diversely used, so the intelligence unfolds its hoard throughout the star field to be multiplied, which wheeling always in its one accord from different virtues forms divine alloy with any precious body it makes quick, and with which, as in you, it will enjoy deep bonds, designed to strengthen as they stick. So by the joyous nature when it springs, the mingled virtue shines through like the flash in our eyes when we think of joyful things. And therefore the whole range of flame to ash, dividing light from light, comes otherwise from how you thought. Not how dense or how rare, but how glad are the angels, gives our eyes, our vision of the dark and bright up there. Proof that such excellence rules everywhere.